Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Everything we know about UFOs is changing. Thanks to a team led by former Pentagon UFO investigator, Lou Elizondo.
That is real, whatever that is.
And former top intelligence official, Chris Mellon.
This is a current, a continuing phenomenon. It's happening, it continues to happen.
They discovered 5 unique characteristics that UFOs have in common. They call the 5 observables. And released groundbreaking videos that forced the Navy to admit its pilots were coming face to face with unidentified objects.
The U.S. Navy made a shocking admission today.
Strange flying objects caught on tape by their own fighter pilots are, in fact, UFOs.
Something needs to be done.
Now a new wave of military witnesses is coming out of the shadows.
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't scared shitless.
I've never seen anything move like that. Shape, size, speed, it's clearly unidentified.
The team is united on a new mission. Connect the dots to reveal the truth about UFOs.
This thing had no capability, like anything on Earth.
And warn the world about the dangers they might represent.
Carl Sagan once famously said, "Extraordinary claims require extraordinary proof." He was absolutely right. But now we have the proof.
Hello, folks, and finally it is here. This is the first episode of what should be 4 episodes of TUP Talks. Now, I have shamelessly stolen hashtag TTSA Talks' acronym, but I'm a massive fanboy of the show. I've never hidden my love for To The Stars Academy, what they're doing over there. So this is a chance for me just to share some thoughts on the first 2 episodes of Unidentified, Episode 1 and Season 2. Episode 1 of Season 2 and Episode 2 of Season 2 as well. I couldn't sit and do this on my own. Well, I could, but you would get really bored of that. So for some assistance and some help and someone who is equally fanboyish, if not more, in the fact that they make art of people from within the show, I've got Dan, also known as The Zygno, from Twitter and the Skinwalker Watch Along on the show with us. Dan, it seems like only minutes ago I was talking to you.
Yeah, it feels like just minutes ago. You're going to have to cut that bit.
I'm not cutting anything out on this one.
I was going to make a relativity joke, but I messed it up.
Oh, what was your relativity joke? You have to do it now.
I didn't get a punchline, that's why I said just...
Oh, he's totally messed it up already. But listen, Dan's a massive fan of To The Stars Academy, much like myself. What we want to do is, we saw so many people sharing thoughts and opinions on those first couple of episodes. We wanted to share our thoughts on them, where we think it's going, and also we've got some of your guys' thoughts and opinions on those episodes as well. So this will be a pretty short 20-25 minute summary of the first 2 episodes, what we think and what we're kind of hoping for as the series goes on. Spoiler alert, we're both going to be pretty positive about the episodes. I don't think To The Stars could do much that would annoy us without coming out at the end of each episode and saying, "Just joking, aliens aren't real." And I think even then we'd be like, "Okay, Lou, yeah, no problem." So listen, episode 1, Dan, was called UFOs in Combat. Now, I know, like myself, you were looking for anything To The Stars Academy and Unidentified related before the series went on, and some of the names of the episodes dropped online before the show aired. What were your thoughts when you see UFOs in Combat?
It makes me think of the airspace incursions in the Middle East. It makes me think of Vietnam, Foo Fighters, those kinds of cases.
That's it. And these go back even further. The famous Battle of Los Angeles photo and, you know, World War One, World War Two, so many different encounters. And that's what we got in this first episode. We got four separate testimonies, something that I think straight away, that the series laid a marker, didn't it, where it was testimony heavy from the start, and this is what we're going to get. What we're not getting, or at least what it doesn't seem we're going to get, are a whole load of new videos of Nimitz or Tic Tac revelation or quality. So if that's what you're looking for, then you're going to be disappointed by the series. However, if you are looking for even further weight and relevance and integrity and credibility to be added into that massive folder, and we talked about this on the New York Times breaking pod that we done last night, Dan, you know, it's all going to be drip fed. You're not going to get a smoking gun in any of this. It's just more and more in the evidence pile that when the time comes, there's just so much that you can't deny that all this is happening, this is going on. So we've got four very credible witnesses on that opening episode, all former military from various time periods, which I like what they've done. They've gone through, and correct me if I'm wrong, Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Guam? Was it Guam? There was one.
I've written the Adriatic Sea, so
there you go. you've got those four separate, but they have their own similarities, but they're trying to make a point, aren't they, that these incursions, these encounters, these incidents, this technology is not new. It's been around for a long time. The military has known about it. These people are seeing them, and it's only now you're getting to hear these stories. So what were your thoughts then on some of the testimony we heard on that first episode?
The testimony was great. I really loved the one that they chose to lead the show with, Justin Dorfler. He watched a jet get buzzed by they say Tic Tac, in the recreation in the story. It seems like it was a light in the sky. Tic Tac has just kind of become the almost synonymous with UFO, right? But he had his journal notarized at the time by the judge. And I just felt like that was an absolute home run coming out of the gates. Then going back to the history kind of stuff, that really surprised me, because one of the complaints from the first season is that it focused too heavily on a few specific cases and it ignored everything before 2004. Yeah. So this episode straight away addresses that, right?
Yeah, and it's trying to find this balance, isn't it, of the history, and we can make a series where we talk about Roswell, we talk about the Phoenix Lights, we talk about Chicago O'Hare, we talk about famous incidents, famous crashes, the same abductions, the same people, but what we've got here is, do you know what, this is what we've built our foundations on, the Nimitz Tic Tac incident. Here's a lot of similar incidents that have happened over the span of 50 years. And I think if you're a Lou Elizondo or you're a Chris Merlin, then that kind of stuff must really light a fire under you as well, because this means a lot to them. And this is where they know that the evidence can really pack a punch, especially over in the US, where the relationship with the military is probably closer or as close as any other country in the world, which is great. And you always hear it, don't you, the thank you for your service before they start a conversation. And that's something veterans and non-veterans alike seem to have in common. So they really do hold each other's testimony in really high regard. Straight off the bat, Andrew Hall, who's one of the hosts, or the host at Dead Hand Radio, his thoughts were, in the first episode in particular, not a lot of new info, but the story about the A6 intruder pilot in Vietnam was presented very well, was really compelling. The fact these anomalies were buzzing around war zones in the 60s is fascinating. It doesn't correlate with any human tech of its time. Yeah, so straight off the bat, isn't it, that we've got back then some of the equipment we'll have had flying about, some of the technology. We didn't have any stealth bombers flying about in the air. We had some pretty rusty old planes kicking about. And these things, again, you've got various different orbs, spheres, saucers being seen in the skies, performing incredible manoeuvres. It's just that impact that they've gone for straight away in this first episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anthony LePay, I obviously interviewed for the second series, he talked about having something like 5,000 different mails and correspondence to go through, and they had to shuffle down to 25 that they went ahead with for the series, and not all of those made it into the cut either.
Wow.
There was a lot in there.
That's an impressive number.
Yeah, it was incredible. And I think more and more are coming out all the time as well. And like Anthony said, at the end of each episode in Series 1, there was a call to arms. Let's get people on the record. Commercial pilots, law enforcement, police officers, army, you know, soldiers, navy, anyone that could get on with that credible military background, because it's something that's so shied away from and frowned upon. And there's still a stigma now, which we know it's getting better because these guys are getting to come out on camera. But there's always been that difficulty in talking about it, isn't there? But Anthony really pleasantly surprised me by talking on that episode. I interviewed him that he had some NASA workers on who wouldn't come on the record or come on camera, but did contact him about experiences they had had, which I think would be fascinating for in the future. But right now, this is what we're getting. And I was really happy with that first episode as well. So there was also some comments made from Luke. He thought it looked incredible. It was really well made. The production values, I don't think you can fault. He really enjoyed the testimony. Hearing a testimony of incredible technology going back 50 years again, like Andrew was saying, and that's something that came up more and more, adds a lot of credibility. I'll agree with this one. Chris Merlin is such an assured character.
He really is.
Yeah, does anything faze that man?
I honestly don't think so. I really enjoyed in episode 2 seeing him like a kid in a candy shop in that Triangle UFO Museum with David Marler. Yeah, that was a wonderful moment. You could just see him. He was beaming and his passion is palpable. He wouldn't be committed so much time and effort and energy to this if that wasn't the case, you know.
Yeah, and I'll keep my thoughts on that for a couple of minutes, and I'll discuss the David Marler Museum to Black Triangle UFOs when we get there. Luke also made a good point in the first episode about there wasn't a great deal from Tom DeLonge, and he doesn't feel he gets a great deal from Tom DeLonge anyway in To the Stars Academy. I think we do naturally see Tom DeLonge stepping back more and more anyway from TTSA, don't we?
We do. It was said early on that eventually that he'd want to replace himself as the CEO with somebody else. So, you know, that's on the cards for the future. I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. There's no rumor or signal that that's going to happen. So, you know, don't leave this thinking that that's on the cards. But Tom is also someone that back in the day, you know, Blink, Tom was seen as a bit of had a bit of an ego. But in the years since, I've come to kind of understand that it was him kind of wrangling with his passion. And in this, he's been able to just completely step back. And as a longtime fan, in one way, I want to see him on camera, but in another, I totally respect his decision to step back and let these very, very qualified people talk about their work and their cases. That's the important thing.
And listen, again, as we've said at the start of this, sycophantic or not, we're TTSA, Tom DeLonge fanboys. Lou Elizondo, Chris Mellon, Hal Putov, Jim Semivan, these types of characters, Steve Justice, They are big characters. They have big presence. They have a lot of knowledge, a lot of gravitas. They also trust Tom DeLonge, or they wouldn't be in this. So
exactly.
when he is sitting at that table, hearing those conversations, he's there for a reason. And yeah, he comes out with some crazy stuff on Twitter, which is great to read. And no doubt, there's a lot of a truth, or at least a lot of honesty from the place it comes. Whether or not it's 100% accurate or not, we don't know. But for me, you do see Tom DeLonge take more and more of a back step. But I would like to see his input now and again as well. But he is definitely leaving it to the experts, because these are the people that we need to hear from. Tom DeLonge fronting this campaign. Tom DeLonge won't appear in the front of New York Times in a serious Leslie Keene, Ralph Blumenthal article. Tom DeLonge's not going to lead on Fox News talking to Tucker Carlson about UAPs and incursions into US airspace, or, you know, in the middle of battle carrier strike groups, or turning off nuclear weapons. But when a Lou Elizondo does it, or when a Chris Mellon does it, there's a weight to it that you can't deny, and it gets people's attention. So for me, Tom DeLonge is not a stupid man. He knows what he's doing. And like you say, he's got that ego, but he absolutely knows for this to work, he needs to take that step back and let those guys take the driving seat, which I think he's doing. And we see that from episode one, that Lou Elizondo and Chris Mellon are the main characters.
Absolutely. He knows his audience. And what we have to remember as well, as Lou has said on TTSA Talks, that there are members of, I was going to say Parliament then, not Parliament, Congress, that watch this show. So we need to really, really be putting our best foot forward. And it's great that Tom knows that a 2-minute interview with him on the screen is less good for Congress to see than a 2-minute interview with Chris Mellon.
Yeah, and let's be honest, Tom DeLonge has built a very successful career through various different bands, but he hits Absolutely. That screen. Like with us, we're fans of UFO, UAP, paranormal, whatever you want to call it. We see Tom DeLonge now probably as much as Blink-182 is the guy who created To the Stars Academy. 99% of everyone else who know him see him as the guy kicking about in his underwear with Travis and Mark and all the small things, and, you know, being a kind of kooky, funky rock star and having the, you know, funny voice when he sings, which he always jokes about as well. But he knows when to take a step back. So for me, episode one was a home run. Loved it. Great start to the series. If I was going to rate it, 8 out of 10, like a solid 8 though. What would a bump
I'm giving it
some more
11
footage or something?
Out of 10.
Are you going straight with the 11s
it's just
already?
11. Yeah. I mean, I know we didn't get footage, but I never expected to. Just in terms of confidence, it just blew me away. I really loved the opening episode.
Awesome. And that takes us nicely then into episode two, which I was very excited to see the title of Black Triangle Mystery, because that's something I've seen myself. So back last Christmas, and I've shared this on a few different interviews I've done or episodes, but I was driving home from work, and 6 o'clock in the evening, it was nighttime, starry sky, paying attention to the road, of course, and I was taking a relatively busy but back road home, where I can avoid the main highway motorway traffic. On the route coming back home, there is near an airport, so I'm used to seeing what airplanes look like at that kind of distance and low level. Driving along below the trees, I could see two lights, just one point either side that would just look like the wingspan of an aircraft. But as I was driving along this road, ready to turn off, they hadn't moved. And as I basically got underneath it, just in looking up out my front window, I could see that there was a shape in the sky, and there was two points of light, but only looking against a really solid black sky. And because of these two points of light, there was just a black triangle sitting about 200 feet in the air, just above the tree line.
Amazing.
A white van had pulled over at the side of the road, and the white van man was looking out his window up at this as well. He had pulled over and stopped. It's a really busy road, and it's like a 60-70 mile an hour road as well, so I had to be careful, as I really want to look at this thing as I'm driving at the same time. So I further along the road, I pulled into a house, some random old couple's driveway, who happened to be at their window, but it was a little cottage type house. They came out as I was trying to reverse out, just to check obviously why some random guy had pulled up in their drive, and he asked me at the time, can I help? And I was saying, I'm really sorry, and I'm trying to look back along the road at these two points in the sky that are still there, but I'm now seeing it from the reverse angle, and you can't really make out any shape at that distance. It was only driving under it, you can make out the triangle. So I pointed along and said, I'm really sorry, but I'm looking at that. There's a triangle hovering in the sky along there. And I just remember this kind of older gentleman looking along, and he laughed and said, oh, it just shows you there's definitely something else out there. Anyway, have a nice night, and walked back in his house. And I was
That's
exactly
very odd,
how he reacted. His wife never even looked. She went back in the house. He looked along. He saw this thing hovering above the tree line and just went back in his house. So I, at this point, I get the car turned and now pointed back down the road towards this thing sitting in the sky still. There's still cars coming along, but again, unless you're looking directly at it, you would just drive past it. You wouldn't see it unless you've noticed it, okay? I start driving back along the road, and it moves off at a sort of diagonal. It goes straight and flat, but it goes off diagonally over the tree line. But at this point, a light on the front comes on. So those two lights would have been like the two back points of the triangle, and the front of it didn't have a light, whereas now it's got this really bright flashing intermittent light as it moves diagonally over the tree line. So I now lose it. It moves slowly, really oddly, definitely not an aeroplane because they don't go diagonally like that. It was so weird the way it moved at that height as well. I drove past the trees to where you would basically see a huge open clearing. It's all fields at this point. Nothing. There was nothing there. Couldn't see it. Gone.
I mean, that's a great sighting. Have you sent that to David Mallor?
No, I am speaking to David on Facebook, and he is going to come on the show soon for an interview. So I will discuss it. Yeah, I will give him that one in person. But yeah, so that was my triangle UFO. And that's exactly how it happened. It was kind of evening time, coming back from work, and yeah, I didn't film it because I was driving. I wish I'd stopped. You know, all the things that go through your head that I should have. I didn't. I just looked at it, watched it, tried to follow it back, and it was
gone. It's always the case, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, when you're confronted with something you think that's from another world, your brain melts. You don't think, I'm going to get my phone. You think, what's a phone? As you're just staring in awe at this thing.
You know, I'll be really honest, right, and it would be really easy for me not to say this. You know when you just get a feeling, when I was looking at it, that it was ours?
Okay.
No reason, no nothing. I just had a feeling that but maybe it's because it was there and it was real and it was in front of me. But you know when you just get that's ours. I don't know why, but yeah, that was
That's interesting.
You see the online TR3B stuff, right? Okay. However, so this whole episode two, the triangle mystery, what was your thoughts, Dan, when you saw that as the title for episode two?
I was very excited. Just because the first time I saw the title, I saw it with the teaser. So you kind of had Chris leading the charge in the teaser. And I was really, really excited for someone of such height. Someone so highly qualified to take us on that journey.
Yeah. For me, there was a few standout moments in this. The fact that it seems to be very much this was Chris Mellon's episode. If he does nothing else in the series, this was his show. He leads it from the front, and he is absolutely the right guy to do it as well. So this must be something he's got an interest in. A couple of things that stood out. One was Chris Mellon's theory that these things are potentially mapping the Earth. Now,
yes,
that's not something when you're in the know and you're trying to keep a secret, and you're hinting at someone's Christmas present. Okay, even if they are wildly off, you wouldn't make up something like that. You know? Do you know what I mean? It's like, so he's coming from a position of knowledge, and he just drops in there randomly that I think these things might be mapping the Earth because of the way they move back and forward. And I think potentially as well, that might explain why some of them might seem so thin or so small, because they are almost like a drone type craft that maybe don't have to be manned.
Yeah, very possibly. Something in your sight, it made me think of what Chris Mellon's theory was actually, when you said about the flashing light. Two of the lights were steady and one of them was flashing as it was moving diagonally. I mean, that to me just sounds like a giant triangular flying photocopier, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
To put it bluntly.
There was no third light until it started moving away. And then when it moves, it was tracking.
So that kind of thing, it could be taking photos, it could be taking readings, you know, anything like that. And it's a really good hypothesis. Tom Rogan appears in this episode as well, the journalist, and he says something. Chris Mellon was essentially a king of the intelligence community. He had access to anything he wanted. That's a quote. Just puts it in perspective. his involvement with TTSA and with the show at all, really. It's a minor miracle we have someone like this on our side, and he's doing incredible work.
Yeah, two other massive things that stood out for me, and I won't name individuals because that's not the point of this show, but so many people highlighted that the police radio calls were the highlight of this episode for them on Twitter. I saw a lot of that.
The police radio calls are very real, aren't they?
Yeah.
In a field where we don't have a lot of real, they are very tangible things. I sent them to a friend and he said they gave him trills. So I think if you haven't heard them before, then yeah, they're chill inducing. But if you have, through an episode of, say, The Basement Office, heard that audio before, it might not be the highlight of the episode for you.
Yeah, and that's a fair point. I hadn't heard those on Basement Office. I've seen half of Basement Office, not all of it. I was kind of late to that show. But yeah, I love those because it sounds to me like people are seeing something that they don't necessarily, they're not UFO believers, and I'm just taking this, you know, at face value. Even when the dispatcher, and I apologise if I'm getting the language wrong for any kind of one who works in the police force, but there's the lady who operates the radio who tells one of the officers to go and investigate.
Right.
Yeah, and the guy makes the point, doesn't he, that what do you want me to do if I see this? Because she's telling him there's apparently a two-story building-sized ship or object floating above this town, and he quite rightly says to her, okay, I'll go and look, but what do you want me to do about it? Which is a great point.
That's a good point. It is.
And then
a really good point.
You hear a series of other officers who basically go, yep, I'm seeing something pretty big. This thing is cruising over the town. It's cruising over the city. It's moving this far away. It's over at this point now. So for me, that was great. But like you say, it's a really good point. If you've heard that audio before, it may not be as gripping for you. The other one, though, is definitely, and probably the highlight of the episode, was the David Marler shrine to the Black Triangle. Chris Mellon,
yeah, it's a great museum,
was impressed. And if you can impress Chris Mellon, you're doing something right in life.
Yeah, it's a fairly good goal in life, I'd say.
How much do you want that woodwork black working triangle model that was made for him?
With the advent of 3D printing, I'm fairly sure we can help him get some little scale models online.
Yeah, that would be pretty
cool. Make that a reality.
Yeah, I love that. David Marler, he spoke so well and so confidently, and he is clearly a very serious researcher. Anyone who listens to this show, whether or not it comes across, I'm someone who just likes to ask questions and go with the flow of the conversation. That's what I enjoy, and that's why I do this, okay? I've got a terrible memory, really bad, shoddy memory, and that's where, Dan, you come into your own, I think, helping me out on these episodes, because you've got this mind that can delve back in and pick these things out, and I tend to go, oh, yeah, I do remember that, or, yep, yeah, that sounds familiar. David Marler seems to me the kind of guy who, no matter what you mentioned, whatever case, he knows where that file is in which cabinet and where he has multiple, you know, different, you know, papers on this, that, and the next thing. So what kind of stood out for you when he was in there talking with Chris Mellon?
Well, one, I'd say that David Marler, even though Nick Pope gets the Mulder nickname, I feel like David Marler has definitely earned that reputation. I forgot what I was going to say now.
You say Mulder. He could be the Scully.
Yeah, they could be Mulder and Scully. He mentioned a number of sightings as well, or cases even. He said there were 17,000 cases. And Chris mentioned that most people never actually report their sightings. So that number is high, but there is exponentially more out there.
Well, let me put my hand up. I didn't report my sighting. Because
there's one right there.
Yep. And again, I've had that second sight, and it wasn't a black triangle, but when I was younger, and that was with my mother, sister, friend, and his mum, where five of us saw what would have been a pretty large disc-shaped object on its side, just I mean, not far off touching the ground, but, you know, like a Ferris wheel. And I've described this on previous shows, so I apologize if you've heard it. But again, we saw that in a really built up area on an evening in Glasgow. And my mum, who isn't, you know, UFO, you know, she's not a believer as such. And she'll say, yeah, there must be something out there. But we saw this really incredible thing spinning at a speed that would have, it would kill you if you were on it. It wasn't a Ferris wheel, but it looked like a Ferris wheel slightly off tilt. That wasn't reported. Other people would have seen that potentially, unless it was only us that saw it, you know, who knows. But again, there was people walking about, driving about. But how many times do these things get seen and just not reported? Because who do you phone, especially back in the 90s, for example? Who did you phone? There was no internet. There was no, you didn't pick up the phone or, you know, go on Twitter.
But that's it. You run it up the chain of command looking for the answer to that question, right? What do I do if I go see this two-story triangular UFO? What do I do? So the dispatch lady asked the policeman. The policeman would no doubt ask his boss. That boss should ask their boss, and so on and so forth. But the stigma has stopped people doing that. And now we're at a place where we've got something in Congress, the recently evolved S3905. It's now S4049. That's the top of the chain of command right there. All of these questions of what do we do, what are they all go to that bill. So if we can push this through, like this show and the people in this show want us to, we're set for a really good 2021.
Yeah, I think as it goes, and we'll start wrapping up because we want to keep this one short, folks. These two episodes were brilliant for me. I don't think you could have asked for much more. Episode 3, UFOs and Nukes. Now, as a title alone, that's got to get you watching. So I'm really excited for that. But as two opening episodes go, there's some stunning testimony. And then we've got a whole episode where the former Under Secretary of Defense for the United States is talking about black triangle UFOs. So, yeah, we have made progress. New York Times articles are out there in one shape or form. People are talking about it. There's motions going through the Senate. The president, like him or not, is mentioning Roswell and Area 51 on live TV in whatever shape or form. It was done relatively seriously. So, yeah, 2021... I know we're all racing towards it for various reasons right now, because 2020 has been the shittest game of Jumanji known to man so far. But, you know, we're starting to maybe get out the other end of that.
I'm starting to get the feeling that when we look back over UFO history since the 40s, modern UFO history, we're going to feel like we hit that December 2017 article and a bomb went off. It's not going to feel like we've been waiting 2 years for little drip feeds and people to educate the public and to try and catch them up with us. It is going to be massive.
Yeah, that's the thing. We're living through it right now, aren't we? And it's going to be over a short period of time. This happened. And maybe only in hindsight, looking back on all of this, are we going to go, wow, do you know what? Look how much we got. Look at the TV series, look at the weight of testimony, look at the movies that came out. I mean, even look at, if you've not seen it yet, I know me and you, Dan, were briefly sharing some trailers on it, but NBC have that pilot for Debris. So Debris, at the same time, all this is happening, we've got a pilot for a TV show that's about pieces of an alien spacecraft landing on Earth.
Consciousness and Creativity is a different podcast.
Yeah,
we can do it, but
it totally is. Yeah, it totally is. But listen, three podcasts in two nights, I think, is just enough even for us at the minute. But yeah, there's no way that's just coincidence. That again, there's a time for this stuff to go out into the media, and I definitely think that your Hollywood and those types of the medias, and that's why Two of the Stars has all these different departments and compartments. That you've got the entertainment division, you know, they've got their Poe Anderson series, they're looking to do various different movies, they've got a science division, they've then got obviously these documentaries being produced. There's a lot of different areas they're using to try and get this message out there, and I think all that kind of plays a part in it. So for me, two solid episodes. I would go with this episode again being an 8.5 or 9 out of 10. I'm going to hold off on a 10 again because it's a maybe it was a lack of that bit of footage, or even though there were some good pictures in there of the report were over the canyon, which was pretty cool. But yeah, going with an 8.5 or 9 out of 10 for the first two episodes, over the moon the way the series has started.
I'm going for an 11 out of 10 again, because
cool.
It's 2020.
Keeping it grounded,
I just want to, you know, throw chaos out there. No, awesome. I'm really, really thoroughly enjoying this season. I think they're knocking it out of the park. Everything before Unidentified, to me, it's kind of like, you know, when there was an iPhone and all the other phones kind of changed to black slabs and everything before it looks a particular way. That's how I feel about this show. Tonally, you know, there have been some outliers, like on the trailer UFOs and some other shows that have been really, really great at keeping that really good professional tone. But everything now feels like it's changing to a more serious conversation because of the work that TTSA have done, whether it's in Congress or in fiction. It's given creatives a way to tell these stories in a more serious light. Massive, massive, massive thank you to everybody who came forward. Justin Dorfler, James Boshears, Brian Weston, Derek Tarr, JT, Michael Villa, and there were a few anonymous witnesses as well. Honestly, you're helping everyone move the ball down the field. Humanity will look... Oh, wait. History will look kindly on you.
Humanity and history will look kindly on them, Dan. But yeah, no, it's...
They will.
Brave. It's really, really brave for these people to come forward and do this, whether they're still active or not within the military. So yeah, it's a really great point. Yeah. And listen, folks, you play a big part in this episode. A lot of what we have discussed, aside from our own thoughts, are being from conversations that I've had with you on Twitter, or I've seen people having, or that you've sent me over directly as well. So please keep those conversations coming. The next episode will be in 2 weeks' time, where we will discuss episode 3 and episode 4 of Unidentified together. So episode 3, UFOs and Nooks, will be on the 25th of July, 9:10 central, I believe is the time over in the US. And for those elsewhere, I should have the dates and air dates and times for Canada and the UK anytime now. The network's got back to me today saying they've got their international department going to email me over and let me know. And once I've got that, I'll send it out straight away for you as well, folks. I know people have been asking, but please. I forgot to say it to you before, Dan. So yeah, I'll get that out to people. But listen, keep your thoughts coming over, opinions, good or bad. We're happy to discuss them at UFOUAPAM or to Dan at The Signal, or you can email the show UFOUAPAM@gmail.com. Once again, folks, thank you very much for listening. Remember, keep looking up. You never know what you might see. Maybe a black triangle.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.